All right, let's start at the very beginning. Genesis 1, 1 through 9 on page 1 of your pew Bible, and if you're reading the large print Bible, it's still on page 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. The word of the Lord.
We turn to our gospel. In our tradition, we stand for the gospel if we are able to do so and comfortable doing so. I invite you to join me. We have it on the screen, starting with verse 4, but I'm going to read you verse 1 as we lead in. This is the beginning of the gospel according to Mark. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed in camel hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart, and the Spirit descended like a dove on him, and a voice from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The word of the Lord. I invite you to be seated. We vacationed, Melissa and I, and I knew that we had that last week of vacation. I had a whole list of projects that I thought I would get done before the end of the year. I managed to get done none of them. Instead, I rested some, and I relaxed some, and I remembered a beautiful Christmas services here. And I read a lot. And I read several books and several different things. I'm in the midst of a biography of Lise Meitner. How many of you are physicists? Lise Meitner was the first to recognize nuclear fusion when it occurred for Enrico Fermi. She was not recognized because she was doing her work in the late 1930s in Germany, and she was Jewish. She had to flee Germany under Hitler's rule, and so any mention of her was taboo, was not allowed. At any rate, I was studying that, and I decided to pick up a book on physics, and so I picked up a book on quantum mechanics. I haven't gotten very far. It is a lot of math, and I'm not as strong in math as I'd like to be. If Carol Ottery would just come over to my house and sit with me and direct me and work me through the math, she's a math teacher. But even my dad gave up on me on that years ago, so it just may not happen. That's one of those things that's pretty long-haired, if I might use that term. So what is today? How many of you know what today is? The 6th, 7th? First Sunday of the year. Epiphany Sunday. What does it say in the bulletin? I didn't put it in there. It is also Baptism of the Lord Sunday. And part of the confusion with the hymns this morning is partly my fault, but it's partly Coke Burdick. She's the lay leader at Jefferson Avenue. She said, "We have to do something about the three kings, the three wise men. We have to do something about that in the service." So the three kings, and it got all confused. So which Sunday is this Sunday? And it kind of fluctuates and flows around, and it can be any and all of those. You see, Epiphany Sunday is the one that Colin named. And Epiphany means manifestation. It's the appearance. This is when Jesus appears and we recognize his manifestation. Have you ever been sitting and working on a problem and all of a sudden you go, aha! You've had an epiphany. A sudden appearance of an idea. This epiphany is the sudden appearance of Christ. And so there are debates about which day is actually Epiphany. Comes from about the 4th century is when the tradition started. And they wanted to celebrate what's called Twelfth Night. Does anybody know anything about Twelfth Night? Good, I can tell you just about anything then. Twelfth Night was part of a tradition, and my understanding is that it's the 12 days between Christmas and Epiphany. And I don't know if that's where they get the 12 days of Christmas or not, I'm not sure. But on Epiphany, or on Twelfth Night Eve, is an important celebration. They have a big party. They have lots of food. They celebrate. They carry on. We're missing something there. But anybody who left up Christmas decorations after Twelfth Night, you're destined to bad luck. I'm just putting it out there. This is part of the myth and the legend that goes with all of that. Later, Epiphany will become associated with the three wise men. We haven't dealt with the three wise men, I don't think, this particular Christmas season. But the three wise men in Matthew, do you understand who the wise men were? Who are the smartest uber scientists of our time today? Who would you think were the smartest? Who do you think the smartest scientists are?
Elon Musk?
Bill Nye? Okay. Bill Craig? Okay. I think of some of these people that are doing some of these things with computers and artificial intelligence. Elon Musk has some concerns there. We still have Stephen Hawking in our mix. But there's some brilliant, brilliant people in our mix. Those are our scientists. And the three kings, the three wise men, were the scientists of their age. They were astrologers. Now, the text that we have of them following the star and coming to worship Jesus does not include their names, but legend tells us that they were named Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. So there's a bit of trivia that you need to know for the next time you're on Jeopardy. You're all set, okay? If we are gathered for this day, though, we need to kind of decide which direction we're going. Koch wanted me to do the three wise men. We're not really doing that. There is the epiphany there, and that is worth investigating and thinking about, the manifestation of Christ. But I want to focus on the baptism of the Lord. And that is one of the names for this particular Sunday, the baptism of the Lord Sunday. The beginning. If we talk about someone, I told you I was reading a biography of Lise Meitner. I've just finished a biography of Robert Goddard. Anybody ever heard of Robert Goddard? He's a rocket scientist in the 30s and called the father of American rocketry. And I read his biography. How do biographies always start? They usually have an interesting story, and then they tell about the babyhood and the childhood and the growing up of the person until they start to become noticeable that there's a biography written about them. Did you hear Mark's biography of Jesus this morning? That's it. Now, we might want to back up and think. Do you remember the names of the four Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're all being very quiet. I won't be grading you on any of this. Of the four, three of them are called synoptic: Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But it's important for you to note that we're not 100% sure, but most scholars are now believing what's called the Markan Priory theory of the Gospels. And it works like this. It says that Mark wrote first. He was the original one about 10, 20 years after Jesus died. He said, I need to write down the good news of this wonderful man, of what happened. And so he wrote down the good news of Jesus Christ. We heard that this morning. And he tells the biography. And where does it begin?
We heard it this morning. It begins with his baptism as an adult. Now, it seems to me, did I dream this, or did we have a baptism on Christmas Eve? We had two baptisms, and they weren't, neither of them said much. You know, Caleb was there, Charlotte was there, and I think they would have said anything, a number of things, but we celebrate infant baptisms. In Jesus' time, they did not. It was only adult baptisms. So, is that the beginning for Jesus? Think a moment before we answer that question. Think of some of the stories you've heard about his childhood. Think about the stories you've heard about him with the terrible twos. Think of the stories we've heard about Jesus as a toddler. How many of those stories do you remember? Good. There aren't any. Now, there were some that were made up. At some point in time, there were some people that began to invent stories, and I'd love to read some of those sometime. They would be fun. And there's a huge debate. At what point did Jesus realize his own divinity? And so there's some questions about whatever happened up until that moment that he came and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Where was the beginning, that moment of baptism? What about those early years? Mark lists nothing. Well, about 10 or 20 years after Mark wrote his story, Matthew and Luke wrote their stories. They had the copy of Mark in front of them, so the stories are very similar. That's why we call them synoptic. But they realized people were asking those questions. Where did he come from? Is he in the correct lineage? The prophets say he has to be of the family of David. What do we know? Matthew's beginning lists his genealogy to show his coming from David. And people were asking about his birth and how can he be his father be Joseph and his father is God? How can that be the case? And the Luke writes the virgin birth story to help us understand that he is born of the Spirit. So now the beginning has moved from his baptism as an adult back to his appearance in the manger. So is that the beginning? People of the time of Jesus, hearing that he was offered salvation, said, but what about my great-great-great-grandpa? If Jesus wasn't alive, then how could Jesus save my great-great-great-grandpa? And they begin to question, now, how can Jesus be the salvation of humanity if he wasn't born? And all of the people before his life, 2,000 years ago, there were people that had lived then, and there were questions about that. And so about 20 years after Matthew and Luke's version, John wrote his gospel. And John may have had copies of the synoptics in front of him, but John had a different agenda and a different group of people he was speaking to, and he had some things, important things to say about Jesus. So here is the beginning. This is the biography of Jesus according to John. And before I read this, I need to explain a little bit of Greek. How many of you speak fluent Greek? Little hint here. The word is from the Greek logos. And that same logos refers to Jesus. So when we're in the midst of reading about the logos in the New Testament, we need to be aware that oftentimes we're referring to Jesus himself. So here now, here's the biography, the beginning of the biography in John. Jesus' biography. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. Isn't that a strange way to start a biography? You know what it reminds me of? Shelley read something this morning. She says, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Morning and evening, the first day. Doesn't it sound similar? Here is the creation story, the very beginning of all that is with God is our story. And now in John we're hearing language. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was... And he's making an important point. Jesus' beginning was not in the manger in Bethlehem. It was not at his baptism. It was not at his death and resurrection. He has been at the beginning for all times. One of the creeds says eternally begotten. Have you ever wondered about that phrase? Now, the first time I read it, I thought begotten means pregnant, right? So what woman would like to be eternally pregnant? Show of hands? No, I didn't see any hands go up at all, not even a little bit. But eternally begotten refers to born, alive, coexistent with God in all time. And it becomes a huge issue. Is Jesus the Son of God, or is Jesus God incarnate? That's what we believe. Is God come down onto the earth? Come down in human form to be with us, to be among us. God on earth with us. What an incredible thing. But that was not his beginning. The beginning is before that. The beginning is before the beginning of creation. When is God's birthday? I guess he and Jesus have the same birthday. There's some theological stuff. Do we understand it? How many of you have it all clear in your mind now? Sort of like me dealing with quantum mechanics, isn't it? We're just kind of sniffing around the edges. And we need to recognize that our human capacities may not be adequate to understanding all that God is about. We become arrogant when we think we have all the answers and we can make it all fit nicely and tie it all up in little bows and packages. And we need that for our finiteness. But God is greater than that. And the beginnings that we celebrate with Christmas is a wonderful beginning to celebrate. Pick a day to celebrate it, and that's wonderful. But let us think about the beginnings and beginnings. Jesus' birth was a beginning. Abraham's being sent on his journey to the promised land was a beginning. Jesus began another beginning. Jesus' death started another beginning. And his new life, another beginning. I believe that as a church, as a world, we're at another place of beginnings as well. And on this new year, maybe it's time to pause and contemplate what has been and what needs to be left behind and what we want to have happen in the future. We can sit back and let others determine some of that, but I think this world is desperately in need of the love of Jesus Christ, the care and the compassion, the inclusion. We need to be about being that and doing that. Shall we think about that as we think about Jesus' beginning and our beginning and our beginnings? Shall we be so as we turn to communion?